actually have to move these cameras.
Yes. This is high production today, guys.
We were all like,
motion picture.
Upside down there?
Oh, man.
But it's comfortable.
Very comfortable.
And that's what's important. Who cares if the threads are coming out?
Yeah, we don't have the recorder.
It's fine.
Put my phone on silent and airplane mode.
Good morning.
Is the recorder missing or is it?
No. It has been given to us.
You want me to get it?
No.
No.
We have other recorders. Okay.
Anybody else need a more macro?
Let me get it.
One comes.
It's only to watch all that proceedings. I wanted to see all the proceedings. Which actually,
the only thing I found is if I leave it on the table, it doesn't always send the greatest.
Okay.
But
I'll see how it's like. All these snacks.
Who brought that stuff here?
Somebody trying to get rid of the Charlotte.
Who brought that here?
Me.
Identify yourself. What's that? Oh, is it open before?
But I didn't send them my crumbles yet.
They can't bring it though. Okay, we put it back in the bed.
What's no good?
Harold.
What, you're up?
I got rules I gotta run this place by. Okay, what happens outside this year, I don't care about. But what happens in this year, I gotta be by.
At least this year's coaching, right?
Okay,
although
we'll have to keep that standard.
Liberal leaning left wing kind of thing today.
Oh, everyone's excited.
Everybody. Don't get too
Okay, good morning.
I'd
like to thank everybody for coming. People from coming from far and wide. Welcome, welcome. Shalom. All the way from Eretz Yisrael.
My brother's from LA.
Oh, wow. The West Coast. Shalom Aleichem. So, especially if you're coming from LA, multiple people came over to me and they were nervous about the topic. If the share is entitled Leaning to the Left, does that have anything to do with your political views?
Are you talking about me? You're
from California.
Yes.
Who would ever think that?
Yes. So the good news is you can stay conservative over Pesach and still lean to the left. It's not a contradiction. But this morning's share, we would like to talk about the mitzvah Heseba. The mitzvah of leaning on Pesach. Please excuse me, my voice is under the influence of the weather. So that's also one of the reasons I thought of nice ideas. But really, when I think when it comes to Pesach, there's so many different halachos, so many laws that we have to learn. That sometimes there are many details that get lost somewhere in transition. And the concept of Heseba, of leaning, definitely could be one of those things that's lost in transition for many reasons. First of all, and we're going to see this idea, I'm just pointing you to ask, we might need to, we're going to be playing a video soon. So it's okay for now. But the first thing I'll bring up, we're going to get to this shita a little bit later, but there's a shita of the Ravia, major halachic shita here in these halachas, that says that nowadays we don't even do Heseba, because the whole concept of leaning, that was by, you know, the Romans. That was in ancient times.
So was dipping the green dress.
Hold on. That's something which is a little bit not something we do today. And there are even our shitas that say we shouldn't do it. That is an opinion. Practically, we don't really paskin like that, especially when it comes to men. So no one should think they're exempt from leaning in a normal situation just because of this idea. But that already means that the concept of leaning should be, to a certain degree, foreign to us. Hard to understand. That's A. B, when it comes to leaning. I would bet, now I haven't yet done a study, but if you go around, if you're a guest by different people's Siddur, different people's Pesach Seder, I would bet the degree of how you see people lean varies very much. And there's all types and of contortions of people taking their angle of how to lean. And not just regular people, lay people, I would say even Rabbanim. I would assume there's different ways people do it. And what could be potentially questionable, I saw, for example, some posts can bring down, if you're just leaning on midair, one of the halachas that we'll see that they talk about is leaning. Now, we all are sitting either on a chair with hands on it today, or a nice couch over there. What happens, which is true in many houses, not everyone has armchairs. What would one do if they're sitting in a chair without arms? It's easier to a certain degree if you have arms in your chair when you're leaning. If you don't have arms in your chair, how exactly are you leaning? To lean on the person next to you. Lean on me. Okay.
Well, a chair next to you. There's space.
Yeah, but like, assuming there's no arm, there's no chair to lean. So then you have to start being innovative. And that's where these things can get even more complicated. What exactly does one have to do for leaning?
It's even harder with more and more people in the house.
So. Yes.
Is this assuming that when you're leaning, you have to be leaning on something solid?
I'm not sure that the word...
Leaning on air doesn't count.
Right. Leaning on air, you're not leaning... Okay, unless we get into the molecular structure of air. But yeah, you're not leaning on anything solid.
There's leaning... I'm leaning. I'm not leaning on anything.
Right. So I did see some postkin say, if you just do that, without the assistance of a table or maybe a pillow, that might even be a problem.
How is that different from Tachin?
It's a totally different thing. Yeah. What's brought up was we do some type of, I'm not even sure how to describe it. I wouldn't use the word lean.
Prostrate.
Nefila.
Yeah. There's, in Tefila and Tachin, we do what we call Nefias Apayim. Nefias Apayim. Which I remember Rabbi Sharfman said so once explaining. It's something in between sitting and standing. Yeah. So that's not leaning, even though technically you put your hand on your left hand, at least you're davening if you're righty, but or right hand if you're tilling on it, it gets complicated. Now, for illustrative purposes, I decided today to go a little more modern tech. And I'd like to show a video. Now, to put in perspective, this video will first show us what, at least one opinion, is what his Seba is. This video is a video taken of Rav Belsky, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, who is Rosh Yeshiva in Tor V'Das, an amazing person. I don't know that we gave a share on him yet, but he might be one of those people next on a share. Ibelsky, I believe he got a perfect score on his SATs, was offered full scholarships in New York City as a kid. He was like the only one who ever like pushed it off, like they gave him pushed off and they gave him another year. They wanted him very badly. He ended up staying in yeshiva. He used to walk around with his letter of acceptance, you know, from the Board of Regents, huh?
From Harvard?
Yeah, he was quite a smart fellow. He later became the head, one of the heads of OU Kashrus.
He was a senior halacha.
Right. And really so much of Baruch Hashem, what we have today in the Kashrus world, is thanks to him. And the modern Kashrus world, for sure, in America. So why don't we go to the videotape, and we'll see a video of him trying to describe it. Now I see there's a little bit of a glare. I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to do much with that. Maybe we'll shut the lights in the back. I don't know if that could do much for our theater, but we'll try. Okay.
Somebody wants to know how much must one lean over for proper haseva?
10
degrees, 45 degrees or 90 degrees. There's no, it's anonymous.
When you're making a saber, it's a, maybe it's not a kundi here, it's an analog saber. After the shear, and I spell the shear, which I use the judgment, but it reminds us. It's I'll tell you, I really, many, many years ago, I, like everyone else, made a segment, and it was a matter of some time that some kind of contortionist body twisting, like don't do that with a full cup of wine. Someplace. And I looked up at the upper part of the wall, and I noticed, very interesting, a hotel, I think it was a good convention, something like that, many, many years. And I noticed tapestry that had pictures of Roman Greek feasts. Everyone was sitting on the mitos that they had the time chazal, and everyone was making a saber. And I saw precisely what that saber meant, and it's very comfortable, very regal, very leisurely. If the cup is perfectly balanced, it goes what?
20 degrees.
I don't know. I really don't
know. Yeah.
Okay. Because I always make a seven. Since then, quite a few years, mostly 30s, 40 years.
Okay.
Good. I think so. Maybe it was long before. This is the way to do it, like I said. And that's the Haseba that was done in the ancient times. You have a mito. By the way, you know what a mito is? They all sat on mitos, right? Haseba lecho is, right? So then lechet vorech lekulon yosh lecho. So, that's it. I could bend the microphone over while I make a signal. But Lamaisa, the bed looked like a regular bed, short bed rather, and it had an angular head so that you pushed up your head. And it's exactly like it was done. You do it. Very comfortable, and like Chazal described how they talked with the people on their right side and behind me, was, you know, you couldn't talk with them so easily. People had a lot about it, but this is the essay. You eat everything this way, and so just a little support for your arm or for your body. You don't have to go through some short questions. So. People try to accomplish, and then they try to make a saber. The truth is that they can't blame anyone, because 99% of the people never saw the illustration of the saber that I saw way back when.
Now we saw it.
What?
Now we all saw it.
Okay.
Let's... As I mentioned in my in the.
Okay, this is a comedy show.
You don't want to hear
but, Harvey, can you get the lights? So let me just say over what Rabbi Belsky did over there. Rabbi Belsky basically told a story that for years he himself didn't know what his seba is, what exact angle. He says years ago he was at an Aguda convention. It was held in the hotel. And he saw on the tapestries on the walls and the ceiling, there was depictions of Romans and Greeks leaning back and eating. And the angles of what he saw, that how they were doing it, he said it felt very comfortable, very regal, and relatively was easy to do. So if you're able to catch his illustration of how to do it, his demonstration, just leaning back, drinking, you're not going like that, you're not, just a tilt, leaning back, eating and drinking. Very, very nice, I think, funny description of what his seva is.
Is it just symbolic?
Huh? Yes, so let me
gesture.
Yes, so let's begin. I'm gonna go through some of the halachas inside, and hopefully we'll get a better flavor of what exactly is going on during the Seder night, that we're very into this leaning. Now the siman, the halachas of Haseba get their own siman shulchan aruch, siman tough ayin beis. But before the machaber of the shulchan aruch gets to the halachas of Haseba, first he talks about your table. I left it off, it's halacha aleph. But it says really, and you see these in pictures a lot. Obviously, don't tell your wives, you know, this is only something you could do if, your house is not running wild. But ideally, the Pesach Seder table should be set while it's still daytime. There's, ready in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you should have your table set for the Suda, so therefore you should come home right away. You go straight into it. It's a busy night. That's the first halacha. Seemingly nothing to do with Haseba.
That's for the kids.
For the table to be set at 1 o'clock?
Because you should start your Seder immediately.
Yeah, yeah, true. That's part of it.
This year, Pesach starts mostly Shabbos.
No, yeah.
You said that day one Shabbos for a
fantastic question. Fantastic question. I don't know the answer. That's a great question. Right? Well, it was asked, because this year, since it starts Motzei Shabbos, could one set one's table on Shabbos afternoon?
Not this year. Right? Not this year. Next year.
Oh, right. This year it's Sunday night.
You can't, though.
Sunday night.
So, whenever. But that's a very good question for a year. We solved your problem.
We do say there's some amount of Pesach that kind of starts by Chatzos.
By more than a year to answer it.
There is some amount of the Yom Tov of Pesach that starts by Chatzos.
Yeah,
the question is every year if you keep, you know, if you close the Aretz and you're keeping the second day Yom Tov, do you have to do that this for the second day?
Yes.
Even though you can't prepare on the first day for the second day, though.
That's what's called preparing, though.
Right, right. Very good. But then I put a lot of bays on the chart, on the sheets. Yisadar shalchana yafa b'kelim noyim kifi kocho. Really, Pesach should have nice kelim as much as you could afford. Nowadays,
more than Shabbos,
you know, people have gotten very into using what they call fancy plastic ware. Which is also a nice way to do it. Look, if a person has a set of china that's kosher for Pesach, that's even better. But there is an idea of setting your table nicely. And then he writes, v'yichavin mako moshavo, you should set up the place where you're going to sit. Sheyosha be'aseba derecheres, that you should sit with haseba, with leaning, derecheres, a means in which you could show freedom. So the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us this idea of Haseba is a means of showing freedom. The night of the Seder is a night when we celebrate our freedom from Egypt, our Exodus. And a way to do that is by this regal form of leaning. That's also why it's important that we get it right, how to do it. Because if you're eating in a very weird, contortionist way, that's anything but real. The concept of Haseba is another form of showing cheres, of freedom. Now, there are many halachas regarding Haseba. I'll try to go through them, and I'm sure we'll have questions of how to do it in our own particular cases. But the first basic step is we saw a demonstration of what Haseba is. Simply in that demonstration, you do need either a chair or a table to lean on. A pillow will help a person with his leaning, but really you do need some surface to hold yourself on. And
Rabowski turned himself in the chair and put his arm on the same table that he was sitting at.
Right, right. Which means that could be done, you know, even if you have a non-armchair. But, you know, the Mechaber does say this is the halacha you should prepare an Erev Pesach. Is what you really would need sometimes by a situation like that is everyone's seat to be prepared like that, right? Everyone knows the issue sometimes if you have a tight table and you're a righty and the person next to you is a lefty.
Well, in this case,
right, that leads to problems. Yeah. Similarly, over here, if you want to do your Haseba this way, you have to just make sure that the people next to you are comfortable and you're not slamming into them. Like most of Judaism, it's very important to know that yes, we have to do our mitzvahs, but it shouldn't come at the expense of stepping on other people's toes. And literally here, you can definitely do that with your landing points for Haseba.
This one doesn't, the halacha is clearly lean to the left. It's not if you're a lefty.
Correct.
You're left.
Correct.
So this, in this case,
now
I'm going to
say, but if you're leaning left by doing this and someone else is leaning left by doing this, they can end up on you, or
okay,
your chair could end up on the next
still
person.
In the same direction. So you have
yes.
Half a chance of doing it right.
So the halacha is, as was just brought up, that's the next halacha. Kishu mesiv, when a person does a seva, lo yad te al gabov, don't do it on your back. Lo panav, you don't do it face forward. Lo al yamino, you don't do it on your right side. Ela al smola, you only do it on your left side. And Ramal writes, there's no difference between a lefty or a righty. Everyone must lean to the left. Now, what's the reason for this? So first of all,
Rabbi, do women lean?
I'm going to get to that question. Hold on. So it sounds like the reason why we lean to the left is two reasons. First of all, as we said, the whole purpose of Haseba is to show his freedom. I guess you have to go to our Roman illustrations, is they only lean to the left. That's what it seems.
They lean to the left. They
right.
Like
second reason.
Physiological benefit.
Right. That's the second reason also. The second reason is also there's a fear of a person choking if a person will lean to his right. So that's why we always lean to our left. And that's why the halacha is so, whether you're a righty or a lefty. So that really means if you're a lefty, this could get a little tricky. That means you have to practice holding your cup in your right hand and drinking. It also means, we'll get to soon, but eating your matzah, holding in your right hand and eating that matzah. Okay, I would guess, especially if you can, if you're using your hand to support yourself when you're leaning, you'll need that other hand to hold the cup, to hold your food. Now, the good news is, most poskim say you do not need to lean during the entirety of the Seder, during the meal. But practically speaking, I would not recommend for people to lean during the meal, especially during the soup. Not a good idea.
You end up pouring it down your shirt.
Not your, yeah.
The, really practice.
The Ramah does bring a shita that to lean during the Suda. There is such a shita, right? So it might be the Rambam. But Lamaisa, most modern day poskim say that's not something that we do. And that for sure would be a problem if you're a lefty trying to maneuver leaning to the left.
Yeah.
You know, let's just work on holding a cup and chewing on some matzah. Anything beyond that, it's gonna get way too complicated.
The first reason, if it seems interesting, we do something because not just any goyim, but goyim who like oppressed us, they destroyed the base of Mikdash, they we're doing something based on because they did it. Meaning we're leaning.
Yeah, no. So
this
the question,
show of heroes because that's what they did.
The question is being asked is like it's a little funny that why are we just copying the Goyim? You know, usually we do our own thing, but here, I think the assumption is a little different. Is not everything is bad that the Goyim do. This is actually a good thing.
It's controversial.
This is a legitimate form of demonstration of a person being luxurious, regal, a man of power. And in the night of the Seder, we want to do that. We want to feel that liberation, that freedom, that ecstasy. And this is why we don't lean all year round. But on the night of the Pesach, that's something we do. Yes.
Just because we look back and see good reference from the Romans doesn't mean it wasn't done before.
Okay, yeah, could be.
Your
could be.
Greeks probably did it too.
Now, I saw a very interesting shiloh, which unfortunately could come up. Let's say a person, especially you had a too active Purim, and you bruise, you break your right hand, chas v'shalom. What do you do now in Pesach? If I lean to my left is my one good hand. You don't have a right hand. It's in a sling. What do you do in that situation?
Nieces or nephews are for.
So, right, I can't hold anything in my right hand, so should I lean to my left? To my right?
Maybe your father.
So the Chafetz Chaim himself brings up this question in the Be'er Halacha. And the Chafetz Chaim is a little bit unsure what to do. Should one person lean to his right or not? Am I leaning to my right too much? So, what should one do? So, the Chafetz Chaim seems to end off, like was said, which is a very interesting idea, is look, where you can't do it, you're off the hook. So if a person does have an injury to one's right hand, Chas v'Shalom, he's paralyzed in his right side, that person, even though he has a left hand, which is useful, but he would not lean to his right side. He would just sit there at the Seder, eat, without leaning. Now,
similarly, what if he's injured on the left?
Some issue with your left side too.
Right, right. If you can't move your body in that way, seemingly, yes, that
he
should carry the same type of halacha.
He uses a straw.
You can use a sippy cup.
Interesting. Yeah.
Straw would work.
Just if a person's struggling, I think it would be counterproductive to the idea of the freedom.
Yes, yes. But that doesn't mean.
Well,
know,
struggling because they have a real disability, not. I just don't like it, you know.
Now, we're going to see in a moment, this halacha is actually very much of a chiddush. To say that a person's pater, I'm doing a seidah, is quite interesting. Because let's fast forward for a moment. What would be if a person does the seidah, but he forgot to leave? I drank my cup of wine, but I forgot to leave. So I didn't put all these. Yes. So the basic halacha is.
I don't have to go back and drink again.
I'll read to you the halacha. I didn't put this on your sheets.
No, you had the West Coast of wine. Right. Wine is an exception. Okay. If you missed up, if you weren't Yossi, you're Rafi Coleman, how do you go back if you're not allowed to?
So good. So let's go through the halacha.
We'll take care of that.
Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Zayin, again, I didn't put this far in the sheet, that anyone who needs to eat something, that whatever needs to be eaten with a seba, im ochel o shusa below a seba, if you ate your matzah or drank your wine without a seba, lo yatza, v'tzarech lachzer lecho v'lishkos be'seva. You need a redo. Right? This is a good question. You know, good quiz. How's a person drink 6 cups of wine on Pesach? in one night. If you forgot to do a save on the first two.
Just have to do during, the close over. During the shuffle.
Correct.
Right.
You have to do the whole guard.
Well, oh, hold on.
Hold on.
It gets complicated. Now, let's just go through the first thing before I get to the specific points. The basic idea, Machaber writes, if you miss it, you got to do it over. However, the Ramah chimes in, nowadays, we don't really remain. The Romans are dead. The Greeks are buried. There were no leans.
Latin is
so the Ramah does write that, hey, we can rely on this opinion. We don't really need to do a Seba nowadays. Okay? So right, if you stop right here, you have a nice machlokas between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. A Sephardi who misses for sure has to go back. An Ashkenazi, the Ramah is writing that perhaps one doesn't have to go back. However, he writes, Venir Li, Im Shasa, Im Lo Shasa, Ko Shlisha Revi, Baseba, Im Lachso, Lishas Baseba. He says, I'll take that opinion halfway, I'll pickle it. For the third and fourth coasts, if you forget those, to do a seba by those, there you don't have to go back. And the reason being is because there's a fear we can't add the kosas. You can't add an extra kos. Right? Nowadays, you know, we'll make another kos. You know? In honor of women, right? You can't do that. That's befeirish against halacha. Right? You can't be most of all kosas. The rabbi said four cups, that's it. So by the third and the fourth one, when you're dealing with issues of you can't eat after the afikomen and all that. So if you add another cup, that'll be a bad thing. So by the third and fourth, if you miss it, don't worry about it. But by the first two, there, the Ramah is passing for Ashkenazim. One should go back and do that. And so too he writes also Bachilas Matzah. He does write, you do it without a bracha.
Didn't you just say that the Ramah said that you don't have to lean at all?
He brought such an opinion, but that he himself went stronger than that. So is there a opinion out there that says you can just run that? Yes. But practically, the Ramah would say, so there's 3 points you're for sure going to go back. Coast one, coast number two, and your Achilas Matzah. If you forget those with a Seba, you go back and do it again.
But he's saying not Afikomen.
Correct. He did not say anything about Afikomen.
So, I think this is what Gerald was asking also, though. You have, it seems like there's points of no return, right? Not with the third and fourth coast, but like as an example, if you've now gotten to Motzi Matzah, Achilas Matzah, and you now are remembering about the wine by Kaddish.
Right.
So like, doesn't it seem like that's too far back to go? I mean, it's just you've now gotten to like mamash a next step, even if it was just a regular Shabbos meal. Like it just seems like there's not actually a fix there at that point.
Yeah.
How far forward can you go before you have to be?
Yeah. So that's a very good question, and I'll tell you what Mishabura writes. Mishabura says, interesting idea, and this really applies twofold, A, to the bracha, and B, to the element that you're bringing out, that I'm sort of like, if I'm having a cup like right before I wash, that's like a little bit out of place. So the Chofetz Chaim recommends, beginning of the night, you should have in mind, okay, we're saying it today, hopefully people remember it for then, is that, okay, I'm about to drink my, you know, Mekiddush, but first my cups. If I forget to do Haseba, okay, my mentality is I could drink it an extra cup, so the first and two, whenever I want, without a bracha. Because I'm having that in mind. Now, if I mess up in any way, you know, I'm having my bracha cover that. And Pashas, it seems, right, you just need to, even though these kosos come at critical points in the Seder, but end of the day, it's its own separate mitzvah, pashtus, aside from tradition in the Prisker world. But as long as you have four cups, we drink properly, you're good. Okay? Now, that's the basic halachas of one forgetting. I'll show you one other interesting halacha. Let's say a person has, this is a good example, this is actually a very big kiddush cup. Right? This is more than Revius. Right? You can have cups that are smaller than this. Right? Now, when you have a bigger cup, you don't have to drink the entirety of the cup. Just drink the majority of the cup. Let's say a person forgot to do Haseba in the first part of his drinking. So I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky says he could just use the rest of the cup for that Haseba. So it's not as if you have to start a whole new cup and do a whole new thing. As long as you have something still in your cup, you could use that for your Haseba.
Well, he says as long as you have anything in the cup, not still a release.
You're quoting?
No, I'm asking.
So I told him he said that little thing. I'm not sure the exactness of it. Do you still need that? It has to be a full revius.
You have a mild.
I think he was saying even less than that. It should be a chedesh. But okay, what was brought up before? I want to make sure I hit those three other cases, which are all very interesting. A woman. Does a woman lean when she drinks the cups? And she eats matzah. So this is just great to see. So I'm not sure there's any other halachic source like this. People should plaster this around the town. Machaber writes in Dalit, Isha ein tzricha haseba. A woman does not need to lean. And the reason was, back in the days, women didn't lean. Except el imkein hi chashuva. Unless she's a very chashev, distinguished, important woman, only VIP women would lean.
Tell your wife that.
Just one second. Harvey, you missed the punchline. Very good.
A Roman matron.
Look what the Ramah, the head of Ashkenazic Jewry, writes. And we're still living off this line centuries later. Hagah. All of our wives, yeah, they're the important ones. They're the distinguished ones. They're all VIPs.
And he still follows it up immediately.
Right?
With low
number. Harvey, you should not make a Sephardi joke here. But that is what?
The Ramah still follows it immediately with Ach Lo Nahar.
Yes.
Sephardi, the camels.
Now, this is black and white. This is one of the most interesting, comment in halacha about women is, and it's really not just Ramah, it's a Rishon.
I work talking about this all the time.
Okay, now you can make sure to bring this home. You may want to put it on, highlight it and hang it up on the wall. Now, Lamaisa, the Ramah does write, Ach lo nagu lahasev, Ramah writes, in his time, though, women didn't lean because they relied on this opinion that we mentioned on the Raviyah, that nowadays people aren't into leaning. So for women, there are two different halachim. There are women that lean, there are women that don't lean. Definitely if a woman forgets to do haseba by a kos, or the first couple kosas, or matzah, she does not have to eat anymore. She doesn't have to drink anymore. No question about it. Even the idea to lean, again, is something which is debatable. There are different halachim. So, okay. What?
They were slaves in the tribe also.
Yeah. But the question is, this is a form of freedom which women didn't do. So if this is an action which is just weird, that's also part of the Ravia's reason why nowadays we don't do it, because it's not what we do.
So if our wife doesn't lean, we don't throw a flag. Right?
No flags.
Right.
No flags. Very good. Put it well. Now I'll end off with one other interesting halacha. As we express, this idea of leaning is a show that you're the boss, that you're prestigious in this. And it comes up the following scenario. Really, it's not simple for a son to lean in front of his father or for a student to lean in front of his Rebbe. Because it's a show, when you're leaning, that's a show of this power that you have.
Haughtiness
even. And in front of one's parent, in front of one's father, perhaps one shouldn't do that. So the halacha writes the following. The default setting by a father, by a parent, is that they're mochel. And a child is allowed to lean if they're by the parent's table.
You have to state it?
Huh? You do not even have to state it. However, a father who wants not to be, who wants to be makbid, then the kid can't lean.
What about father-in-law?
I'm going to get to that in a second. This year I had to look up that halacha.
No father-in-law.
But
not yet.
You're not coming to Pesach, but
first time.
Huh? Not married yet. But
you know the parents.
Yeah. But it's interesting where Yosef says this halacha equally applies to a mother besides a father. So in the situation, unfortunately, if the father's not there, only the mother's at the table, we'd have the same issue about leaning, but you could assume the mother would allow. By a Rebbe, though, if a person would have a meal by one's Rebbe, there the halacha is you have to ask for permission. You can't assume off the bat that they would be mochel. It's different. I actually saw an interesting point in Sefer Hari Kedan, says over the Torah from Yosha Ber Salvechik, makes a very interesting distinction. And it's mashma in the Mishnah Berurah, this. There's an idea of fearing one's parents, right? There's kabed es avicha, but there's also a person that has to be yare, be fearful. The lashon Chazal used when it comes to Rebbe is mor rabcha k'mor shemayim. So if Salvechik wanted to point out, by Rebbe, by a father, it's just fear. By one's Rebbe, it's k'mor rabcha k'mor shemayim. Has to be like the fear of heaven. And that's an additional level. So that's perhaps why you could explain that there's two steps. The default setting by a father, you can more easily be mekel and just assume that he's mochel. But by a Rebbe, it's a higher standard. And we can't just assume that he's mochel. There you have to go through the process of actually asking. And I saw one Mefarshim point out, is it a lack of derech eretz to ask him? Is if the action that I'm doing is an act of some degree of haughtiness, so can I even ask my Rebbe? Can I lean in front of you? And I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky said yes, because since this is a means to the Mekayim Halacha of a Seba, that one could. But it's very interesting. Let's say in a situation where you don't get the Roshos. This Rebbe is Machben on his covenant, he's afraid if Kai's lean, whatever his Cheshmer. So are you Yotze? The Seder, I had matzah, I had dalkos, I didn't lean because I'm in front of my Rebbe. Do I have to go to another Seder instead? Should I not eat by my Rebbe's house? So, Mefarshim point out, this is the same type of thing. In this scenario, you're potter. The only time the rabbi say a din of haseba is where you could perform that haseba. But if your hand is injured, or you're by a Rebbe, you're in some scenario where you can't do that, then you can do the mitzvah of Dal Kosos and Achilas Matzah without a Seva. Now, Bezus Hashem, we hope to have two more Shirim before Pesach comes. Obviously, a lot to do. But I think this picture, perhaps demonstration, of what a Seva is something, you know, more than just doing the actual leaning. When we take away that feeling of freedom, of regalness, the way Rybalski described it, that a person has by the Seder, that's something which could last actually much longer, for sure, than the wine in your stomach, the matzah too, and give us a sense of pride of being the chosen nation. Something we could all use. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Suppose if you didn't lean during the entire shir, you go to ycct.org/shir and listen to it again.